So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10 to 1, chapter 3, text number 17. I will recite the shloka by myself, and that will be shloka number 17 and 18. And then we will recite shloka number 19, which has a purport together. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswati Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraye. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one shall offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of God and Narayan, unto Nan Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Nasprayesu abhadresu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavate Uttam Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtake. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotees, all that is troublesome in the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Dhanvantaram dvadasamam taryo. Dhanvantaram tadasamam taryo dasamam evacha apyayat suran anyan mohinya mohayan striya. In the 12th incarnation, the Lord appears as Dhanvantri, and in the 13th, he allured the atheists by the charming beauty of a woman and gave nectar to the demigods to drink. Chaturdasam narasimham vibradatendram urjitam dadara karajair uro erakam katakrid yata. In the 14th incarnation, the Lord appeared as Narsingha and bifurcated the strong body of the atheist Hiranyakashipu with his nails, just as a carpenter pierces cane. So we're going to chant this together. Panchadasam vamanakam kritva adavaram bale padatrayam yachamana pratyaditsu stripistapam panchadasam vamanakam kritva kad adavaram bale padatrayam yachamana pratyaditsu stripistapam panchadasam vamanakam kritva kad adavaram bale padatrayam yachamana pratyaditsu stripistapam. Please recite. Anchadasam. Vaishnavis. Panchadasam, the 15th in the line. Vamanakam, the dwarf Brahman. Kritwa, by assumption of. Agat, went. Adavaram, arena of sacrifice. Balaye, of King Bali. Padatrayam, three steps only. Yachamana, begging. Pratyaditsu, willing at heart to return. Tripistapam, the kingdom of the three planetary systems. Purport and translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. In the 15th incarnation, the Lord assumed the form of a dwarf, Brahman, Vaman, and visited the arena of sacrifice arranged by Maharaj Bali. Although at heart he was willing to regain the kingdom of the three planetary systems, he simply asked for a donation of three steps of land. So please repeat after me. In the 15th incarnation, the Lord assumed the form of a dwarf Brahmana, Vaman, and visited the arena of sacrifice arranged by Maharaj Bali. Although at heart he was willing to regain the kingdom of the three planetary systems, he simply asked for a donation of three steps of land. Purport. The Almighty God can bestow upon anyone the kingdom of the universe from a very small beginning, and similarly He can take away the kingdom of the universe on the plea of begging a small piece of land. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Pastata Dasatarine Om Gyanam Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakya Chakshun Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Before I start speaking today, I would like to seek the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas sitting here to be able to speak something on this subject matter in the footsteps of all of us trying to practice devotional service under the guidance of Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada. So, it's a very short purport. Basically, in the next three texts, we have four avatars or four incarnations that have been mentioned, starting with Dhanvantari. And then after Dhanvantari, we know it's the Mohini. And then from Mohini, it is Lord Narsingadev. And then the last one is Vaman. So these four incarnations that are in these three purports. As we know that Ananta Shesh with his 1,000 mounts cannot recite the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is reciting constantly, 100%, 24 hours. Maybe, I don't know if in the spiritual world there is more than 24 hours. However, we know that Ananta Shesh is glorifying constantly. And even with his 1,000 mouths, he cannot glorify the unlimited pastimes and glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what to speak of an unqualified person like me to try and speak about four avatars within 25 minutes is not going to be practical. However, in the spirit of this great Vaishnavas, I will try and elaborate as much as I could, although Srila Prabhupada's purports are filled with so much nectar on these four that it can take a few days just to speak on this subject matter. As we know, we are trying to comprehend something that the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita about Him. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvata taktva mam punar janma naiti mameti so Arjuna. That whoever knows, in this case Krishna's or my transcendental body, activities and perfection, after quitting his body, returns to Him and doesn't come back to this miserable world. The translation given by Srila Prabhupada is miserable. Not happy world. Not a world that you can try and make happy. It's clear. Miserable. And you know, we follow evam parampara praptam. Imam rajaso vidu. Sakalena mata yoga nashta parantapa. No neti neti business. We don't have this option. Prabhupada has made it very clear. We have no neti neti business. Or this or that. No. It's very clear. Miserable world. Get out of it. Go back home. Back to Godhead. See, Prabhupada was very specific. Prabhupada was very clear. He named his magazine Back to Godhead. He named the society Krishna Consciousness. Everything very clear. Why? Because we are in Kali Yuga, very short spans of life, are very troublesome by nature, have short memories. Why waste our energy? Straight. Straight and clear. So, we have 25 avatars that are mentioned in this very chapter. And Dhanvantari, Srila Prabhupada mentions, is the avatar or the incarnation that inaugurated the medical science or the knowledge of medicine in the universe. So, as we know, Lord Jesus Christ said in the Bible that that the body is the temple of God. Because without having a healthy body, we cannot serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So both physically and spiritually, the Lord incarnates. And so, Dhanvantari is known for his medical science. And the Lord has unlimited potencies, as we know. In principle, there are five potencies of the Lord that are unlimited. And that is unlimited beauty, unlimited strength, unlimited renunciation, unlimited knowledge, and unlimited fame. So, Dhanvantari displays, according to Srila Prabhupada's purports, displays the potency of fame. And Srila Prabhupada also mentions in the purports about Dhanvantari is that the incarnation of Dhanvantari is the reason that the demigods achieve long lives. That it is not just for the jiva tattvas, ourselves who are in this material world, but by the presence of Dhanvantari, there is also long lives in the spiritual world for the demigods. And then another point about Dhanvantari incarnation that Srila Prabhupada mentions is that it relieves us from undesirable eatables. As we know today, in medical science, when you go to see a doctor, one of the things that the doctors recommend nowadays is basically your diet or nutrition. So you are given guidelines on your nutrition as to what you should take in order to prevent your disease or your ailment to become worse. So, Dhanvantari incarnation also takes care of that. So, this is what I could find about Lord Dhanvantari from Srila Prabhupada's purports. Then, the next incarnation, as we know, is Mohini. And the word Mohini means to bewilder. You know, it's Mohini. And it bewildered Lord Shiva. So what to speak of the asuras who are present, during the churning, and the devatas, and we had the chanaras, we had the gandharvas, we had a lot of different human beings or different species present. And at that time, Mohini bewildered everyone, and especially the asuras. But what Srila Prabhupada mentions is that Mohini displays obviously the potency of beauty in the Lord. And one of the main things I came to realize during that pastime is that although the asuras are demonic by nature, when they saw the Mohini Roop or Mohini approaching, they were at least able to address Mohini and speak to her in the limits of protocol. It was not that they just went and hugged her. You know, we know beauty, how beauty can allure a man. However, they didn't just go and start hugging or break a protocol. They actually inquired very intelligently. They inquired from her, you know, who was her father, because they wanted to know where she came from. They even asked her intelligent questions. It looks like you have not been married. See, so there was some protocol that was being followed even by the asuras. Obviously, she agitated the minds of the demons. And what everyone in that assembly felt was that Mohini had come to find her husband. So everyone was allured to her, and so the demons, the asuras, were all looking forward that, you know, since she has come here, there is a good probability that we can marry her. So with that in mind, they forgot everything about the fighting. As we know, what happened is that's how Dhanvantari also appeared, because Dhanvantari appeared with the pot which contained the nectar. However, even the Lord as Dhanvantari is a partial incarnation. You know, actually Srila Prabhupada says Dhanvantari is a partial incarnation of, not even a direct, it is a partial incarnation of not even the direct incarnation of the Lord. However, the Lord is still powerful, but the demons were so powerful that they were able to snatch this nectar away from the hand of Dhanvantari. And then they were fighting amongst themselves. In fact, one of the things the asuras do when they are addressing Mohini is that they say, look, we are born from the same family, because, you know, as we know, that both the devtas and the demons come from Kasyapa Muni. So their father is the same. So they were saying, you know, although we are born from the same father and mother especially, we are fighting for this pot of nectar. And however, just by the beauty, the unlimited beauty of the Lord, they forgot about the fighting. And their mind dwelled on trying to achieve her. And with that in their mind, they actually surrendered onto whatever decision Mohini will take. They accepted her as an authority. And Srila Prabhupada, in his further translations and purport, states that the Lord addressed them and said that you should not actually trust a woman and put faith in me, because I am like a prostitute. It's actually it's translated as a prostitute. And the reason given in the purport was that because in Vedic system, either a woman is married and is under the protection of her husband, or she is under the protection at elderly age of her children. In this case, because she was coming to an assembly without any kind of protection, the Lord actually gestured to the demons that you should not actually take me very seriously. However, the demons, bewildered by her beauty, took that as a teasing sentiment and still went ahead and accepted that whatever she does, they will accept. Now, it's also very interesting that when Mohini went ahead and got hold of the nectar, which was given to her, both the asuras and the demigods observed rituals. They actually went and took a shower. They actually sat. They actually performed rituals. Both the asuras and the demigods gave in charity to the brahmanas. They gave cows. So you can see that although the asuras are demonic by nature, they were even observing this protocol, which they understood was that they have to take a bath, because anything that is done spiritually, you need to be clean. And in addition, they were also offering ritualistic activities by offering to the brahmanas. So that was another very, very important point, that how protocol was still being followed. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that the Lord took the Mohini Roop to challenge the Goddess of Fortune. Because, you know, the Goddess of Fortune is the most beautiful. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that when the Lord wants to take the form of a woman, He is more beautiful than any female form. He surpasses the beauty of even the Goddess of Fortune. So, you can see by these Leelas, you know, that's why we call them Leela avatars also, how the Lord is serving several purposes by doing a particular Leela. Because not only is He bewildering the asuras and great Vaishnavas like Lord Shiva, but He is also showing that He can take a form of a woman that is more beautiful than any woman form that is present. So you can see, that's why we call them Leelas. And it is further stated that although Mohini started giving the nectar, you know, the demigods were seated further than the demons. You know, and the way it was arranged was that there was west side and there was the other side. But the demons were sitting closer to where they could first get the nectar. However, they saw that Mohini was already administering this to the demigods. However, this is what Srila Prabhupada says, that the demons respected the notion that she was in a woman body and they could not fight a woman. So you can see even that etiquette is there. They are even observing that etiquette that they cannot fight a woman. So that was another very important point that came up. And as we know, this is one of the challenges that we get in today's world, that people challenge the position of God because they want to see God. Or because they cannot see God, they believe there is no God. But in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord gives the formula or the secret behind this. Because in Bhagavad Gita 7:25, the Lord says, Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samarvrita. Mudo ayam nabi jananati lokomam agyam avyayam. That I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. The Lord is not our order taker. That we want to see the Lord, so the Lord must be present. He is covered by His yoga maya potency. Srila Prabhupada mentions this several times. So for them, I am covered by my internal potency. And therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. How do we know the Lord? It is in Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasa Deva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Sham Sundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Only by unalloyed Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. Premanjana, only when I'm conquered by the unalloyed devotion of my devotees am I present. And we'll speak about that in the next position when Lord Narsingadev comes, because that is a classical example. That Hiranyakashipu obviously was a demon, so his mentality was Naham Prakasha Sarvasya. He didn't understand that I cannot see God. But Prahlad Maharaj could see God present everywhere, even in a column. So you can see the mentalities. And that's why we say that in devotional life, all we do is dovetail our consciousness. Because it is so important when our consciousness is purified. And it's purified by the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Up to Atma Nivedanam. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions a very important thing, especially for the incarnation of Lord Narsingadev. Srila Prabhupada says, when one is impudent towards a highly authorized devotee, one is punished by the laws of nature. You know, Prahlad Maharaj was speaking to his father, and he was speaking to him, as we know that Prahlad Maharaj is one of the 12 Mahajans. Bali Maharaj, who Vamandev also appeared, is also one of the Mahajans. So he's one of the authorities. So, although he was only 5 years old, he was an authority because of being elevated in spiritual science, in God consciousness. We know the same thing happened when Sukadev Goswami was offered to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. We had his father there. We had Narad Muni. You know, we had Brahma. We had all the exalted personalities. So age is not a determining factor in your spiritual life. However, Srila Prabhupada says, because of being impudent towards an authorized devotee, there is punishment by the laws of nature. And that was one of the reasons that Srila Prabhupada mentions that Narsingadev came out fiercely, came out very fast. Why? Because he wanted to protect the word of his devotee. As we know that Hiranyakashipu was challenging and was getting furious because he was telling his son, who can be more greater than me? Imagine Hiranyakashipu. If he raised his eyebrows, the demigods will tremble. Just raising eyebrows. This is how powerful he was. Just he raised his eyebrow, and the demigods, in fact, in the purports, it says that the demigods were actually hiding behind the clouds when the fight was taking place between Lord Narsingadev and Hiranyakashipu, and in that playful mood, the Lord let Hiranyakashipu slip. And when he slipped, the demigods actually, they lost maybe, you know, a heartbeat there, because the cardiologists could have made a lot of money, you know, because they lost a heartbeat. They were hiding behind the clouds, watching this incident. See how the Lord also plays with us. And here is a 5-year-old boy who has so unflinching faith that he's not been moved by any of these circumstances. And that's why the Lord says through Arjuna. He doesn't say through himself, because Srila Prabhupada mentions that when Krishna says something, there is a nature that is the Supreme Personality of God, and he may change. But when he says it through his devotee, Kaunteya pratijanaima bhakta pranasyati. Through Arjun. He said through Arjun. Why? Because the Lord keeps the word of his devotee. The Lord is conquered by the pure love of his devotees. So with that being said, when the Lord came out, from this column, obviously the first thing that Hiranyakashipu and his assembly of demons saw was not the Lord's physical form, was the sound. They were frightened by the sound, because that sound was shattering. So that's another potency, the omnipotency of the Lord. Just by the sound, they were shattered. Wait alone to see the form, which no one had ever seen. So Srila Prabhupada mentions, as you read the appearance of Lord Narsingadev, that Hiranyakashipu and the assembly were only, before even they saw, they were just bewildered, where is this sound coming from? You know, the sound itself just shook them. And this is the same person who just raises an eyebrow and the demigods get trembled. So you can see the majesty, the power, the strength, when we say the Lord has unlimited strength, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the God we worship. Not any cheap God. Like Srila Prabhupada used to say. Why? Because the Lord is manifesting all these lilas. Srila Prabhupada says further, that by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, Prahlad Maharaj was especially brought to this material world to teach people how to get out of the material condition. Because the Lord comes through his representatives or directly, as we know. So Prahlad Maharaj was brought so the people in the material world like us could come out of the material condition. And we know in the seventh canto, Srila Prahlad Maharaj, one of our authorities, gives us instructions also for civilized men. That is the end chapter in that canto. For civilized men. It's actually translated as civilized men. And and as we know is that why was Hiranyakashipu getting very upset? Because he was declaring himself the most powerful. And what was Prahlad Maharaj answering to him? Prahlad Maharaj was answering to him that your strength, the source of your strength, is also the source of my strength. So indirectly he was telling, Prahlad Maharaj was instructing his great father that your strength, the source of your strength is not you, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the source of strength for everyone. Because a devotee understands the position of the master, Srila Prabhupada says. Only by the mercy of the master can one attain the position of the master, not independently. It's a very important point. In the materialistic world, we are trying to gain everything on our strength without the mercy. In fact, when we do Damodarashtak prayers every day, if you read one of the translations, it says that to the devotees who are attracted only to his majestic aspect of Narayan in Vaikuntha, the Lord herein reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. So we know that the rope was always two finger widths. And we know that those represent effort from a devotee's part and the mercy of the Lord. Mercy. So Srila Prabhupada is very clearly saying that the master is Krishna. We are Jiva Sarupa Krishna. We are only servants. But when we actually want to become master, we need the mercy of the master himself. Well, we cannot try and get that mercy independently. And that a devotee, exalted devotee like Prahlad Maharaj understands this. And further, Srila Prabhupada also comments that, you know, we think that we have a lot of enemies, but in principle we have six enemies within us. And those six enemies are the uncontrolled mind and the five senses. So, as long as we are not able to control our senses and our uncontrolled mind, don't look for any other enemy. The enemy is sitting within you. So the first enemies are these propensities that we need to control. And then we go continue. Srila Prabhupada says, if good instructions are given to a foolish person, he does not take advantage of them, but becomes more and more angry. And that was the mood that Hiranyakashipu was exhibiting. Because he was getting good instructions. However, because of anger, he was not taking advantage of them. And we also have this particular shloka in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is very important because it tells you what are the desires of a devotee. You know, a devotee is Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ataiva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakala Asanta. This is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The karmis desire sense gratification. Gyanis aspire for liberation or merging into the existence of the super soul. And the yogis seek material success in mystic power. Are all restless and ultimately they are baffled. But the devotees are nishkam. They only want to spread the name and fame of the Supreme Personality of God. They are not about getting fame and getting this power or this power or this siddhi or this siddhi. And but in the discussions between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu was actually feeling the opposite. He was feeling that his son Prahlad Maharaj was the most unfortunate. Why? Because he felt that he was the possessor of all the universes and that his heir will be Prahlad Maharaj. But because he was becoming disobedient to him, he was going to kill him. So he was the most unfortunate. And here Prahlad Maharaj and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Prabhupada's purpose are stating that the most unfortunate was who? Was Hiranyakashipu. Because a great devotee is telling him sober things and it is not being heeded. So you can see everyone's perception. Hiranyakashipu was thinking that Prahlad was unfortunate. And obviously, then we know that Hiranyakashipu was killed by Lord Narsingadev. We know that Lord Narsingadev fulfilled not only Prahlad's prophecy or Prahlad Maharaj's words that the Lord is present everywhere, but he also fulfilled Lord Brahma's. Because Lord Brahma had given boons to Hiranyakashipu that made him feel he was immortal. But what do we learn as devotees from this? Is that our intelligence is minute. We may think we have covered everything. I cannot be killed by an animal. I cannot be killed by a man. The Lord comes as half man, half lion. I cannot be killed at daytime. I cannot be killed at night. The Lord kills you during the twilight hours. I cannot be killed in the air. I cannot be killed in the space. The Lord kills you on the lap. I cannot be killed by any weapon. The Lord kills you with his nails. So you can see that your intelligence cannot be more than the Lord's intelligence. So surrender. Surrender to that master. Because you cannot defeat this master by any means. So this is very critical. So the Lord not only fulfilled Prahlad Maharaj's prophecy, but he also filled Lord Brahma's. Now imagine you are told to keep a promise. It is very challenging. Very challenging. Because you may keep it away from some people, but then you get a very close associate. And they come to you and they start speaking to you and you are actually bewildered. You say, I need to. Here the Lord is trying to fulfill everyone's promises. This is the Supreme Personality of God that we worship. Don't take this cheaply. This is the majesty of the Lord. That how he's doing his dealings with each and every devotee. And how is he keeping the word of each and every devotee. You know, the Lord can break his word, as we know. In the battle of Kurukshetra, Bhishmadev, his devotee said, I will break your promise of not yielding a weapon. The Lord doesn't care about his promises. He cares about the promises of his devotee. And then, I see time is moving. Then there's the last Vaman avatar, the dwarf avatar. As I told you, you know, the Sheshanath cannot, with his 1,000 mouths, glorify the Lord. I don't know how in 25, 30 minutes you can speak about four incarnations. But the challenge was, there was no purpose on the. And now I see why I get special mercy here. You know, I just say yes, but I don't see what I'm going to get into. So, from Bali Maharaj, who is also one of the Mahajans, we learn something very important. And that is that although his guru Shukracharya told him that he could get away from his promise to Vaman Dev, because Shukracharya knew that Vaman Dev was Lord Vishnu disguised as a Brahmana, he told Bali Maharaj that if you are subduing others, or you are speaking to someone in a joking matter, or you are responding to someone in danger, or you are acting for the welfare of others, you can withdraw your promise. So he gave Bali Maharaj all these four options.
But Bali Maharaj is a Mahajan. What do we learn from this act? That even if your guru is telling you to do something bereft of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you should reject that guru. You should reject those instructions. Because Bali Maharaj had given his word. And although the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present before him, he won the Lord. Not by battle, but how did he win the Lord? He won the Lord because Srila Prabhupada says he actually told the Lord to step on his head for the third step. Which, as we know, the Lord's transcendental body touching you is always a blessing. So, Bali Maharaj bound the Lord by the rope of love, Srila Prabhupada says. And we can see Yashoda Maya is doing the same thing. It is by love only that the Lord can be bound. And we also know that Lord Vamandev was so indebted that he has become the doorkeeper. And am I correct to say that he is the eternal doorkeeper? Eternal. Not just for a lifetime, but he is the eternal doorkeeper of Bali. And Srila Prabhupada says it is because Bali Maharaj practiced one of the 9 processes of devotional service, which was Atma Nivedanam. That he surrendered everything, including forsaking the instructions of his guru because they were against devotional service. So, we know that Srila Prabhupada also mentions that Lord Vamandev appeared on the auspicious day of Vijay, which we know Vijay always means victory. And he appeared in his original form as the four-handed Vishnu, but then in the presence of Kasyapa Muni again and Aditi, he took on a dwarf form, and because he took on also a brahmachari form, the thread ceremony was performed. But a very important point, that even the Lord as a dwarf, when he was walking towards this arena to get alms, to beg the 3 alms from Vaman, it is translated that with every step that the Lord was taking, the earth was pressed down. So the Lord, irrespective if he is in the Virat form, or is in a dwarf form, or is in a 200 form, the Lord is the Lord. Janma karma chame divyam. We cannot comprehend this. However, we follow evam parampara praptam. We follow what we have been told by our acharyas and by Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Any questions, any comments? Yes, Prabhu. I think wait for the mic.
Is it the Mohini Murti incarnation of Krishna? Is it you said it's most beautiful? This is plain in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes.
Is it she is more beautiful than Srimati Radharani? Who is more beautiful?
You know, my limited understanding on this is that Lord Krishna is also the internal potency is Radharani. And when he's manifesting, he's also manifesting himself. So they are both internal. Because Radharani is the internal potency, the Haladini Shakti, the internal Shakti. And Mohini is also a manifestation of the Lord directly. So since they are coming from the same origin, it's the same, it is a Leela. What Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purports is that she is the most beautiful. Now, remember that Radharani is in a different mood and the goddess of Lakshmi is in a different mood. And that's why the goddess of Lakshmi is always trying to get into the rasa and cannot get entry. So, we have to also understand that the moods are different. What Srila Prabhupada is speaking, because we have to see the context of everything. So, Srila Prabhupada says is the most beautiful compared to any goddess of fortune. Doesn't say Radharani. I will try and answer it that way. But we have senior devotees here. You know, we have Prabhus, Matajis, maybe they can give more on that subject.
Made me think that Radharani is called Karuna Bharite. She's full of compassion and mercy. So this Mohini Murti, she was like he's saying this is a completely different mood. If you consider Radharani's personal character and her attributes and her devotional sentiments, it's going to be like a miles difference. Although, you know, maybe that same kind of beauty is there, but it's a different beauty also. I can't even imagine, but I'm just thinking, you could think about that for a long time, actually.
I think Satchitanoy Prabhu had something to say or add. Thank you, Mataji.
In the description of demigods and demons, we heard many times that, or we know from scripture, that what makes the difference between a demon and a demigod is their character, their behavior, their surrender, and their godly qualities. Divine and demoniac. So when you were mentioning that the demons following etiquette, protocol, or culture demons, that puts them in a category of culture, educated demons. And I was analyzing in comparison to today's behavior of some human beings who actually mistreat women. I've been in crowds of people where they actually touch women and abuse women. And even the so-called civilized, highly politician, educated people, they do some horrible things. So my question is, or your comment will be, is will that put these present situation citizens of who act in that way worse than those demons? Like worse than the demons that we're describing here? Are we worse in that respect?
I know Archita Prabhu has an answer because he looked at me. What I know is that Srila Prabhupada said that in Kali Yuga we are not even Sudras, we are fourth class Sudras, and that with the progress of Kali Yuga we are becoming more and more deteriorated. So definitely there is also the Yuga. Remember that these Leelas are happening not in Kali Yuga. So there is also a Prabhav, there is also an influence of the Yuga. Because there is also Yuga Dharmas. So obviously the yuga is an aspect, but I think the main thing you have to understand in context, again, I'm ready to be corrected, is that they were doing this etiquette because there was Mohini and she was very beautiful and they did not want to displease her. So they were a bit following more etiquette. If it was just the demons and demigods, it was just masculine, they could not have maybe followed this etiquette because they were already not following it. They were even fighting amongst themselves. But because the feminine came, as we know, true love means true sacrifice to some degree. They were trying all to be in the good books. Let me put it in the good books of Mohini because of her beauty, a captivation. So there was some kind of desire in them that they did not want to do anything that will make them look bad in the presence. Am I correct in that understanding? So with that, maybe more etiquette was being followed. Archita Prabhu, can you elaborate?
Whatever the divas do is not solid. Harava Bhaktasya Katol Mahadgana. Whatever they do is not solid because it's self-motivated. So it's just like the example I like to use about the first big blackout in New York City. There was a lot of crime, but it wasn't just the criminals in the street. A lot of crime was committed by the guys with the suits and ties because they saw an opportunity. No lights, so they could steal something or rape some woman or something like that. So on the surface, they may seem to be, at any given time, they seem they're very gentlemanly. But because it's not based on God consciousness, then it's not solid. And given the right opportunity, they will flip just the opposite. And as far as that first question about beauty, Prem Sankirtan, Prabhupada said once that it's in the eye of the beholder. He said, every man has a right to think his wife to be the most beautiful, or every parent has a right to think their child to be the most beautiful. So when we're asking these questions of beauty, it depends on who you're asking. If you ask Radharani's associate, they'll tell you nobody's more beautiful than Radharani. But if you ask somebody who is personally present in front of Mohini, they may tell you, I've never seen anybody more beautiful. And you can't argue. You're going to argue? Are you going to argue with them? So such questions, it comes down to who you ask.
Shrimad Bhagavatam class ki.
Yeah.